You can be seated. Just a few initial things I want to share with you. In the bulletin, Miss Donna put in there about an update on Pastor Bill. Continuing to see his strength increase. And tomorrow's going to have some extra important meaning for him. It's his Independence Day from the hospital. So he's hoping to come home tomorrow is the plan for that. So continue to keep him in your prayers for strength and for Donna as well. And all that she is doing and all the details that go into that. Secondly, we had an opportunity for our dear brother Pradeep over in Sri Lanka to send some communications to us, to Miss Donna. And he sent a letter, which she made copies of. They're available back there. I encourage you to get a copy. But I'm still going to read some portions of it just for your benefit of some things that are going on in Sri Lanka that you may or may not be aware of. And then after I read this, we're going to play about a 13-minute audio piece that he sent as well, just sharing some things about Sri Lanka, things on his heart, but then also relative to entering into a prophetic prayer over that nation. So I just want to really share that with you. Let me read this letter first to you. Hands of Hope Sri Lanka. Dear friends, greetings. The economic crisis in Sri Lanka has further deteriorated into a dangerous position. Entire nation has run out of petrol, which is oil, diesel and kerosene until the 20th of July. Government says they have no indication when the next shipments will arrive. Thousands of people have lost their jobs, their businesses. Cost of living is soaring on a daily basis. Price hike on petrol and diesel occurs twice a month, making it extremely difficult for people to live. Bus fares continue to increase. Train services coming to a halt due to the fuel crisis, as well as all transportation systems. Frustration of the people has led to mass protests and increase in robberies in the urban cities. Schools are closed, kids having to go online. Now, despite all that, he transitions. Nevertheless, of the extreme difficulties we're facing in the nation, I am thankful to God for his abundant grace upon us to solidly anchor our faith in God in these perilous times. We haven't allowed the hopelessness in the dark times that is looming over our nation to stop us in our mission. 3 weeks ago, they went on a mission trip to two cities, which I am not going to try to pronounce. In one of them, there was great hunger amidst the people. So many of them experienced God's tangible presence during the time he was speaking. God confirmed the message with healings and with spirit of revival, strengthening the people to walk by faith regardless of their dire circumstances. You know, no matter what we think we go through in this nation, it really doesn't compare to what's going on in many nations around the world. That doesn't mean we should just ignore what's going on, but we need to continue to hold fast the fact that no matter what is going on circumstantially, we can have hope amidst those circumstances. He continues, a lady got healed in her spine. Another person received great release from her domestic issues. A youth also received a powerful touch from God, empowered her to walk with God in a greater commitment. Soon after our time of ministry, we distributed food essentials and Bibles to people who attended. Many shared with us their plight and difficulties. It was sad and hard to hear. Many didn't even have a next meal. From there, they went to that next city, a remote place where God's light is dim in a rural community on top of a high mountain. Despite the conditions and rugged terrain, people had great expectancy to receive from God. When people are in a state of truly facing life and death, it puts you in a place of desperation. Not that we wanted to take that happening for us to cry out to God, but even then, God will still hear and answer. And that's what he is continuing to do. After he shared messages, five people gave their hearts to Christ. The Lord also healed many at the meeting. Brother Bennett, someone there, was completely healed of neck pain and pain in his hand. Another person was healed from wheezing. After our time of ministry to the people, we commenced our humanitarian work in distributing food essentials. People were happy to receive a bag of groceries. At the same time, we were able to bless little kids with a bag of goodies as well. There's just a lot that is going on there. He says, thank you for partnering with us in the vision to spread the love of God throughout preaching and the acts of kindness of our nation, all for the harvest. How much have we heard Pastor Bill share weeks and weeks here that we're coming into this end time, there will be a great harvest. And there's going to be waves of all those things he's talked about. But God always has a parallel track and actually a track that preexisted whatever the devil's track is, and that there can be great things that are happening. And even amidst dire circumstances, God can still move in great and miraculous ways. So I want to be able to share now an audio portion with you from Brother Pradeep, and then I will continue afterwards.
Hi, friends. I want you to join with me in praying for Sri Lanka. This evening, as I was praying with my family, the Holy Spirit showed me that my nation was like the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. So let's join together in interceding on behalf of our nation today. Let's agree together in decreeing and declaring over our nation. I believe that even as you and I get together, and even as we begin to pray, and even as we begin to prophesy over the nation, over the dry bones, over the political system, over the economic system, over the religious system, over every strata of society, I believe that your prayers and my prayers are going to hit the realm of the spirit, and something is going to shift in the spirit realm, and God is going to bring a turnaround. I believe that even as we pray, that belief will begin to come, because we are in a place where there is so much hopelessness and there is no future, like the children of Israel in Ezekiel 37. But even as we, as men and women of faith, even as we begin to rise and call those things that are not even as they were, even as Ezekiel began to prophesy over those dry bones came alive, and those dry bones didn't have the breath in them. And even as the Lord began to tell, begin to breathe upon on those dry bones, and there was breath that came, and there was a mighty army. I believe with all my heart that even as we get together right now, even as we begin to prophesy, even as we begin to decree and declare, even as we pray and begin to intercede right now on behalf of Sri Lanka, there's going to be a shift, that God is going to bring a resurrection. Hallelujah. Even as the boat is just beginning to sink and sink downward, I believe the Spirit of God is going to come. There's going to be resurrection power right now. There's going to be power that is coming from heaven. Even as the saints of God are lining up, are aligning together right now, even as we begin to put our hearts together in praying and interceding on behalf of Sri Lanka, there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be life. Hallelujah. These dry bones are going to come alive by the power and the Spirit of God. So let's begin to pray. Father God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus over Sri Lanka right now. Lord, over every strata of society right now, I bring the political society right now, the political realm right now in the mighty name of Jesus right now, Father God, even as, Lord, this system is dead right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, and I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, that this political system will come alive, oh God, a new breed of leaders will begin to arise, oh God, from nowhere, oh God, even as we begin to pray and even as we begin to believe right now the word of the Lord that you have spoken on behalf of us all over this nation, oh God. This nation is not going to fail right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We just pray, Lord, even as Ezekiel prayed right now, oh God, Father, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you that even as you hear the sound of our voice right now, oh God, Father, we just thank you and we praise you right now for the nation of Sri Lanka, and we begin to cry out, oh God, right now for this nation right now. The political system, oh God, the old system is done away with, oh God, and Lord, a new system, oh God, of political leaders are going to rise up, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Men and women of honor, oh God, Daniels will begin to come, Cyruses will begin to come, Esthers will begin to come, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, the old system, Lord, the Pharaoh system, the Nebuchadnezzar system will be done away with, oh God. And I pray and I prophesy right now, oh God, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, these dry bones will come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. The political system will come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, into parliament, oh God. Oh, Rabba Saka Shete, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for a mighty shift right now, oh God, to take place, oh God. Even in this night season, there'll be a mighty shift right now that will take place, oh God. Oh, Rabaka Shaterebe City, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that there'll be a shift right now, oh God. Hallelujah. We speak, Lord, to these dry bones in the political system. Come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Come alive in the mighty name of Jesus right now, oh God. We pray, Father, for the economic system, oh God, that has gone dead. Come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let there be an injection of life in the economy right now, oh God. Every form of corruption is dead in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabakasha, robberies are dead in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Roboka Sataramak, deception is dead in the mighty name of Jesus. Witchcraft is dead in the mighty name of Jesus. So we prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus, even as, Lord, the Spirit of God hovered in the book of Genesis, where there was dark and there was despair and there was nothing. But Lord, we thank you that the word of the Lord, you spoke the word of the Lord into utter despair, into a world of chaos and into a world of confusion. The Holy Spirit and the word of God came together and there was creation, oh God. And right now, Father, even as you have given me this word, even as you have given other prophets and men and women of God a word for our nation, oh God, I pray the mighty name of Jesus right now, oh God. Hallelujah. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, even as we speak this word, oh God, hallelujah, in the economic system, oh God, of our nation, will begin to rise up, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah. Out of nothing, something will begin to come. Hallelujah. We speak life. We speak resurrection life into this economic system right now, oh God, that is dead right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that you will send forth your angels from heaven above, and Lord, that you will resurrect that economic system, oh God. Oh, Basaka Shataramaka Shanda. Lord, finances will begin to come, oh God, from the nations of the earth, oh God, to Sri Lanka, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that there'll be a new company of leaders, a new flow of finances, oh God, into this nation, oh God. A new Sri Lanka will begin to arise, oh God. And we speak the breath of God right now, oh God, where there is discontent, where there is hopelessness, where there is no future, Lord, for you know the plans that you think towards them, oh God, plans to prosper them, plans to have a future. Sri Lanka will have a future. Sri Lanka will begin to rise up, oh God, by the power of your Spirit, oh God. It will not go down, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. It will begin to rise up, oh God, Lord, men and women, oh God, every village, every tribe, oh God, in this nation, oh God, the 9 provinces will begin to rise up by the power of your Spirit, oh God. This nation will not going to go down in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for every pastor, every prophet, every apostle, every teacher, every evangelist, Lord, in this nation will begin to cry out, oh God, for this nation, oh God, and Sri Lanka will begin to rise up, oh God. Every cynical spirit, I bind you right now. Every spirit of doubt and skepticism, I bind you right now. And we speak life into this nation. We speak the power of God into this nation. We speak the anointing of God into this nation. We speak the fire of God into this nation. Oh, Saka Shaka, corruption is dead in the name of Jesus. Oh, Pastor, you will not rise. Your head will not begin to rise up. But Lord, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We prophesy over these dead bones. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There'll be a resurrection of finances. There'll be a resurrection of prosperity in the economy, oh God. A new breed of leaders are rising. Oh, Baka, we prophesy that a new breed of young people are rising, oh God. Every strata of society is going to prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. When things are hard, oh God, there's be an injection of your power and infusion over this nation, oh God. We just prophesy right now, oh God, life, oh God. We prophesy prosperity. We prophesy, oh God, courage. We prophesy boldness. We prophesy faith right now, oh God, in the midst of the chaos, oh God. Our faith will begin to overcome the world right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's an army that is rising up in this nation. There's an army that is rising up in this nation, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. There's an army that is rising up, oh God. Thank you, Lord God. We just praise you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for families right now, hallelujah, that are struggling, that have no hope, oh God, that have no future right now, oh God, that
in a place of confusion. Lord, your word says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, for I know the plans that I think towards you. Lord, your word says, no eye had seen, no ear had heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, O God, for the things that you have prepared for them who love you. Spirit of the living God, you know the plans and the purposes for your people in a time like this, O God. Father, I pray right now, even as we pray, O God, hallelujah, over families, over homes, O God, over this nation right now, O God. Spirit of God, you begin to fill people, O God. Fill the Father with the Spirit, hallelujah, fill families with the Holy Spirit and fire right now, oh God. I bind the spirit of discontent, I bind the spirit of confusion, I bind the spirit of oppression, I release the Spirit of God over every family right now, Father, that they will begin to fall in love with Jesus, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of complaining, hallelujah, and I pray, I release the spirit of praise, oh God, in the name of Jesus right now, over this nation, oh God, so your plan will begin to come over every family, over every ministry, hallelujah, over every business, that your plans will begin to come, oh God. Your vision will begin to come, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We press into your plan. We press into your vision, oh God. Hallelujah. Not my vision, not what we think, oh God. We lean unto you, oh God. We trust with you, in you with all of our heart right now. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our advocate. You are our teacher. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in these perilous times. You will lead us and guide us. You are the best guide, oh God, in Jesus' name. We don't trust in man. We don't trust, politicians. We trust in the Lord, our God, our Father, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that let your plans permeate right now. Let your purposes begin to permeate right now. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit begin to come upon families right now. Hallelujah. Every family, my family, hallelujah, families across the nation of Sri Lanka right now, by the power of your Spirit right now, every Christian family, every born again family, oh God, that we will begin to speak the word of God. Lord, we will not speak the news. We will not, Lord, begin to speak negative things, oh God, but we'll begin to speak the word of God. We'll begin to speak, Lord, the mighty acts of God right now, by the power of your Spirit right now. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon our nation. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on every home right now. I pray, Lord, fire from heaven above. Fire from heaven above right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for fresh oil that is coming upon every home in our nation, over the parliament, over a new breed of leaders right now, oh God. Hallelujah. Dry bones live in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. New political system. Hallelujah. New economic system. New plans and new structures, new policies that are emerging right now by the power of your Spirit, I pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus over this prayer, over our nation, over every Christian home, over every Christian church right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let there be a revival of the word. Let there be a revival of the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus in this nation right now. Even as this prayer begins to hit, Lord, homes, all across this nation, oh God, let there be a mighty revival, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. I bless you. I praise you. Let every word, not one word will begin to fall to the ground. Let every word that comes from heaven be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be fulfilled in Jesus' name. We hold on to your word. We hold on to your promise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.
We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for Brother Pradeep, Father, who is faithful to your word, to proclaim it, to speak it, to teach it, Father, to bring intercession, to make intercession on behalf of his nation where you've planted him, Father, where you've called him, to make intercession on behalf of the church in that place and the families and the communities around him, Father. Father, we agree with him in faith that you call those things that be not as though they were, that you bring to pass the miraculous signs and wonders to confirm the word of God that is preaching, that a great harvest and revival would come to that nation at this time, Father. In these perilous times, Father, we thank you, Father, for your Spirit at work, moving in their midst at this time, in every sphere and every level of government, down to local, all the way up, Father. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit moving and working in the hearts of people to draw near to you, to call upon your name, to receive resurrection life into their lives, to receive miraculous hope, Father, where they see no hope in the natural. Father, we thank you even now for moving in their midst and answering these prayers according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are so thankful for the ability to have communications like that at times for our brothers and sisters around the world. You know, we're not just about our physical church here and the people who are here. You know, this is our Jerusalem, but we're called to continue to be connected with the body of Christ at large. And I'm so thankful to be able to be connected with Brother Pradeep and many others around the world who may be facing difficult circumstances in their nations. We just continue to release our faith because God's not surprised by what's coming. He's got the provision pre-planned and prepared. We have to just lay hold of it and seize it by faith. So continue throughout these times keeping Brother Pradeep in Sri Lanka in your prayers as well. And I think what a great way that kind of segues into our nation. You know, we have many things that we're facing at this time and trials and challenges and frustrations and things in our own nation. And as we are celebrating this weekend, July 4th, tomorrow, our independence, it's, I think, very important for us, not only as Christians, but as Americans, citizens of this nation, those who reside and abide in this place, to not forget the price that's been paid. And not forget the liberties and freedoms that we hold dear. Not forget who we are as Christians, but also not forget that we live here. This is the place where we are called, where we are planted, and where we have the ability to make a difference, to take a stand for things. And the thing the Lord put on my heart, I'm just going to read a few things here for you. And it's been 246 years since that day the Second Continental Congress penned and signed that Declaration of Independence. You know, often I wonder how much we really even remember what was written or why it was written or what happened to those who signed it. It was basically signing a death warrant. Do we realize that? Do we realize what has been done, the price that's been paid, for us to even be able to sit here and enjoy freely the exercise of worship? Do we really understand and appreciate the reason we celebrate July 4th? It's not just about the biggest fireworks, although that is pretty cool. It's not just about the getting together with family and friends, though those things are wonderful. But if we do all that and forget the reason we even have this holiday, we've missed it. And we need to remember that. So I'm going to read a few things here from you from the Declaration of Independence. No, this is not designed to be a political message, but I'm pretty sure the Word of God permeates into every part of our life. As it did for our founders. Despite what people may be saying nowadays, history is true. Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is the duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history in the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And he goes on and lists 27 grievances. Not light and transient things of, well, I like this color, well, I like that. No, it's things that have a long train of abuses. And it concludes with this. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I do want to ask, who were those signers of the declaration? These 56 people who signed this document stating what I just read. And what was it they really valued so much? They were willing to give up their fortunes, their status, their names. 24 of them were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well the penalty would be death if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for a piece of paper that they signed to wage war against a mightier power, all related to independence and freedom they believed they had the right to possess and own in this physical world. So my question, because as Christians, I'm pretty sure that the things and the inheritance that we have are much greater than the things in this world. What are we willing to pledge? They pledged their lives. They pledged their fortunes, their checkbooks, their bank accounts, their honor, their names. Is the church willing to rally behind the name and the cause of Jesus Christ and the gospel? Willing to give up their lives, their fortunes, and their names, their honor? Let me tell you what happened to these 56 men. At least a few of them. 5 of them were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the war. Another 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships from the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the seas of the British Navy, sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellerlie, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwynedd, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson homes for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire on his home. His home was destroyed and Nelson died as well. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. He later died from exhaustion. Norris and Livingston also suffered similar fates. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. They were not wide-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As Americans, they appreciated the independence they could achieve from the tyranny of a king. They believed in the unalienable rights endowed by their Creator as the highest law for every breathing person on the world. Therefore, they recognized the tyranny of man against those rights. And they chose to take action to live out those rights, trusting in the supreme judge of the world at the expense of their own lives and fortunes. That's what we celebrate on July 4th. And if you look through history, it is very evident how much God's hand was at work, not only through the men who were not perfect, but the men who penned this document, putting God and the rights that he ordained as his creations as the highest law of our land. Men are not perfect, and I am not saying America is perfect, but I'm not going to ignore, denounce, or deny the reality of what these men did and what they died for, what price that they paid. I will not let July 4th go by without acknowledging and appreciating the things that they've done, lest it repeat itself. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." God can have blessings and callings for nations, not just individuals. And I firmly believe, as did George Washington and many of the founders of our nation, that there was divine providence, a divine calling, plan, and purpose for the United States of America. Not by comparison to any other nation. That's irrelevant from the equation. We don't compare ourselves to anyone else, nor should you, whether individual or nation. But I'm focusing on this nation which we live and reside as residents and as citizens. God has a plan and a purpose continually for this nation. It has not ended. Though there is much being done to try and stop, thwart, and hinder it from happening, God knows what's going on. And how many times do we see throughout Scripture, God only needs a remnant. God doesn't need a certain quota of people before he'll do anything. God needs a remnant of faithful people. Whether it's a few or many is irrelevant. God needs and is looking for faithful people who will stand for truth. You know, we don't ever want to put being an American above being a Christian. You've misplaced your priority and your identity. That doesn't change that we're Americans. That doesn't change that we are placed and live and reside in this place. What can we do as stewards of this nation and the calling God has on this nation for the glory of God? We can't be so consumed and lost in our own worlds, in our own possessions, in our own fortunes, in our own lives, just to have them taken away. Now, these people, these men, they knew what may come for them, but they saw generations ahead. For their children, their grandchildren, their grandchildren's children. We need to think not just about, well, now, today and now, what I'm experiencing, what hardships I may encounter. We need to be able to think about generations to come. Isn't that what God was doing when he sent his son to endure pain and suffering on the cross and ridicule and rejection? Wasn't he thinking about generations to come that through him and his sacrifice and his blood will be able to come in and experience the inheritance of the saints? We need to have that same perspective and mindset, not just about the here and now, but about the future generations. Because that's what God does. We need to take action. You know, I'm not here to promote political activism. That's missing the whole point. But because of this holiday we are celebrating, because of where God has planted this church in this nation, we have a responsibility or a duty to stand up for what is true and what is right, despite what may come. In recent weeks, we had celebrations by many of the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. And at the same time, we had protests against that same ruling. How is that even possible? Anyone to protest life? Well, it's not that hard to see, because they are putting choice above everything else. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Well, I want to choose to be my own Lord of my life. I'm going to elevate my choices above the Lordship of God because I think I know better. And no one has the right to tell me I can't choose to do anything I want to choose to do. So it goes back to the original sin. We shouldn't be shocked by it, but we should certainly be grieved by it. Does that mean we should fall to the wayside and be silent? No, we should continue to stand. The Bible says speak the truth, but just make sure you're speaking it in love. And your concern is not how anybody else responds. Your concern is, Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I standing and representing you in your light that's going to lead others to Christ? We can't worry about how others will respond to his truth. That's the conviction on them. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do whatever that's going to happen within their hearts. Our job is simply to stand and carry that light of God's truth. That's all we have to worry about. That's all we have to do. You know, in recent months or years, and it's coming to a head now, with a bunch of things in our nation that we need to, number one, be aware of, and number two, have understanding of, and number three, as we're able, take action against. This demonic theory called critical race theory, you need to know what that is. As it's affecting our nation, our children, our schools, our workplaces, our military, you need to understand more than just hearing CRT or hearing critical race theory. You need to understand what that is. Definition: philosophy rooted in Karl Marx's ideology. It asserts that America is systematically racist, advocates that American culture is a conspiracy to perpetuate white supremacy, and divides people in either you're an oppressor or you're a victim. And if you're white, oh man, you're just an awful person. Didn't you know that inherently in you, because of your skin color, is racism? It is demonic and only breeds division and separates, not unites people. You need to be aware of that. Public schools are endeavoring to hide its integration into their system, into their curriculum. They're even telling teachers to hide it intentionally. Yet there are mechanisms through the Freedom of Information Act for you to be aware of that if parents know how to access it. If your kids are in public school, you need to be aware of this and get involved. You need to know what's being taught. Even in private schools, you need to know what's being taught. God looks to you as the parent. Primary responsibility for training your children. You can't blame somebody else. Well, I had no idea. Why not? What's being taught in the classroom? You will hear common code words like equity, anti-racism, inclusion, which all sound very nice, and we would all think that they're good things. But it's selective diversity, it's selective equity, it's selective inclusion, which anything selective means you're discriminating against somebody. So it's just discrimination is all that it is. In God's eyes, does he care what color your skin is? No. We also need to understand certain movements and people and groups who are the primary proponents of these things, beginning with Black Lives Matter. Is a demonic, horrible group who is promoting this exact same ideology. Their name is very deceiving. Well, sure, Black Lives Matter. But you dig into what they're doing. They are the primary engine fueling these things in our society. Liberals, leftists, whatever you want to call them, I don't care what title you give. Any person who believes any skin color equals something racist is a racist comment. This is what is coming in. And it's only going to breed division and separation. It's not going to bring unity in communities, in churches, in any place. But it's permeating our culture. There's a lot of pushback coming up, but we need to be aware of these things. And then we have things related to all these mandates that came out from COVID, with whether it's masks or vaccines, still being pushed today. People losing their jobs for not promoting or teaching the CRT. Losing their jobs for not adhering to the vaccine requirements. These things are hitting home. They're hitting the bank accounts. They're hitting the checkbooks. They're hitting people's finances. And it's going to beg the question, who and what is your source? I'm just making a point that this was not the intention of the founders of this nation. All men, which means people, are created equal. Well, that flies in the face of CRT. No, they're not. Because certain people with certain skin color are racist. See, it's not compatible. But, you know, we shouldn't be shocked how the enemy works with things. But we need to be aware of it. See, there with the founders, they understood the unalienable rights endowed to them by their creator. Well, where'd that come from? It was foundational to their society and their upbringing. When you have this as your source and your foundation, that's your plumb line. And anything that comes against it, you can identify as wrong. But see, if we don't have this as our basis for what is true and what is right, you're in a position to be easily deceived, led astray, manipulated, taken advantage of, and everything else. I know of some Christians and churches who believe CRT is a good thing. Because these poor people and slavery and hundreds of years, it doesn't matter how many years ago it was, they're constantly pulling it forward into the present, making it a divisive thing and perverting the truth of the intention of the founders. They don't have this. If we just have this, it'll keep you on the straight and narrow. It'll also set you apart for better or for worse in the eyes of people. Always for better in God's eyes, but potentially for worse in the eyes of other people who think you're an awful person because you think homosexuality is a sin, who won't just accept it. I still love the people and I want them to be safe. I want them to be delivered from those evil spirits of homosexuality and come in to be partners with Christ, but they can't until they repent. That doesn't mean I love them any less. There are certain lines, if we want to say it that way, God has drawn. This is right, this is wrong. This is sin, this is not. You're not loving others if you withhold from them the standard of God's word. You're actually very prideful and selfish, any person who would do that. Because you're caring more about, well, I don't want to lose this relationship. Or I don't want to offend them. Or I don't want to... It's all rooted about you. Truth says, I love you enough to tell you what is best for you. And I'll tell you in a loving way. And then you have a choice how you respond. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. As Christians, we should have an even greater appreciation for the independence from tyranny of sin in our lives. See, we believe in the covenant rights and promises we have from our Creator. We recognize the tyranny of sin imprisoning many against those rights, and we need to take action to live out those rights, trusting in the name of Jesus, trading our worldly possessions and pursuits for the eternal treasures and fortunes before us. My question is, do we? Do we believe in those covenant rights, promises, and blessings? Do we know what's in here? Do we recognize the tyranny of sin trying to separate us from those blessings? Do we take action to live out those covenant rights, trusting in Jesus to empower us by His Spirit to live for His pleasure? Yeah, I see a lot of evidence in different places and churches I've talked with or Christians where a lack of appreciation is coming in, allowing circumstances to define the boundaries of our expectations rather than God's word. Oh, well, I'm sick. I need to just deal with it, suck it up, accept it, and get through it the best I can. Well, that's what this natural world would say. Well, what's God's word say? Which one are you living by? Also, allowing worldly pleasures and pursuits to define the boundaries of our happiness and joy. Imagine if the founder decided, you know what? It's just the way it is, living under tyranny. Let's just make the best of it. Yeah, they would have avoided, maybe, some of the hardships they encountered in the war and the death and the suffering. Maybe they would have kept some of their fortunes. But what would the quality of their lives have been? What would the conviction of their hearts have been knowing they're choosing to hold on to things for themselves and not taking a stand for what is right? I'm thankful that they did. And for my children and my children's 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 children, I want to leave a legacy of me being somebody who will stand up for what is right, no matter what comes against me, even my own life. What do I have to lose? I have everything to gain. So what do I have to fear or worry about? We need not allow life experiences to define who we are or the boundaries of our power and authority. I will say this, sinning is not normal for Christians. You're not going to be sinless, but you should certainly sin less. We'll say it that way. But don't make that your focus. I'm going to focus on not sinning, not sinning. No, your focus is just on focusing on God and moving forward. And as you do that, your mind is renewed, your path is straight, your face is set. I want to remind you of some things that God's word says about you. Because we need to understand what God's word says about who we are in Him, about our independence, that Jesus was sent to deliver us from, that sin no longer has power over you. So we can then be able to stand and resist anything that would come against those things. Whether it's sickness, whether it's a philosophy, whatever it is, we can identify it, we know the truth of God's word, and we can take action to stand against it. Whether it's prayer or whatever else the action may be. Ephesians 2:10, for you are His workmanship. I'm modifying it to just say you, just so you know, I'm not perverting it. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Yes. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Many people have a hard time with that. Well, yeah, I'm my own. It's my body. I can do what I want with it. It's my life. It's my. No, it's not. If you're a Christian, by the very essence of that, you've made Him not just your Savior, but your Lord. I preached last week on the word Adonai, often translated Lord in Scripture. Adonai means you are saying, you are my Adonai. You are my owner. You are my ruler. You are the Lord of authority of my life. My life is not my own. It is yours. Choosing to be your own Lord is choosing to live under the tyranny of sin and thinking it's better. John 8:31 and 32. Abide in my words, and you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Remember last time I said, difference between make and set. You know, a prisoner can be set free in a jailbreak. Does that mean they're made free? No, they're legally still going back to jail. But when you're made free, you are set free. You're released from the prison, but then there's no legal right they have to take you back in. You are made free. That's who you are. And then verse 26, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about you, even your past. you are made free. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Galatians 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is sin. God has set you free. There's an independence and a joy that came with these founders and came with our nation of seeing miraculously deliverance and obtaining independence from a tyrannical ruler to be free. Free for what? Does that mean they're free from any rules, any laws? No. They were free to form their own government based upon the Word of God as their foundation to form a new nation. See, people get deceived when they think, well, coming into being a Christian, I'm losing my freedoms. No, you're losing being in bondage to sin, which you're a slave to, but you're inheriting and coming into all the freedoms and joys and blessings that come from God. And if you truly see that, you will value it and you'll want that. You won't want anything else. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is the Spirit of God in you? There's liberty. There's the power to be set free. This July 4th, let's just take a moment as the worship team comes up. I want to encourage you, remember and appreciate the sacrifices for those who, what they did to secure these rights and freedoms that you enjoy. I kind of wish Americans would sometimes travel to almost any other country and have a point of comparison. Because when you live here, you don't always truly appreciate what you have. Hopefully it won't come to the place where you don't appreciate it until you lose it. Hopefully that won't happen. But I'm telling you from experience, living in countries like Russia and having traveled to many others around the world, you're blessed. Abundantly blessed in this nation. Just don't forsake or forget the blesser. Take time to appreciate and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you to have all the blessings you have spiritually, which are of eternally much more value than anything you experience in this world. My desire today is just to encourage you, to educate you, to inform you, to fire you up, to know who you are in Christ, to know who you are as an American, as we celebrate our heritage, as we celebrate July 4th, whereas many are protesting July 4th because of the indoctrination of things like CRT. We have much to be thankful for in this nation. But there's a calling. If there's a calling on a nation, there's a calling on the people of that nation. That means there's a calling on you as a person of this nation, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But are you willing to put God's plan first? Or are you going to hold on to your lives, your fortunes, and your honor? Or are you willing to lay it all down at the foot of the cross and say, God, my life for the gospel? I love how Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. So the life which I now live in the flesh, I will live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's basically saying what I've been saying. Your life for the gospel. Don't focus on what you think you're giving up. Focus on what you're inheriting and getting in return. So we're going to end back into worship just celebrating and thanking God for the independence and the freedoms as Christians that we experience from sin. And then take that joy into this world where he's called us so others can see that light and enter into the same joy that we have as well.